OVW Podcast.
It's for legal purposes, the unofficial OVW podcast, just so we're clear.
Welcome to the OVW Podcast, the unofficial podcast of Ohio Body Wrestling. It's a Thursday in the week, you know what that means. My name is Jack Oates. I'm joined today, as always, by Brian Irons.
Hey, Jackman.
And since it's a Thursday, we have a very special guest, the veteran, the last real professional wrestler, Jack Vaughn.
Mick Foley's favorite wrestler.
Yes, don't forget that.
Mrs. Foley's baby boy's favorite wrestler.
Yes, that's what I tried to say, and yeah. I realized I messed it up.
you get a huge compliment from a guy like that. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll just start there. No better place to start. Mick Foley comes out on international television and says, Jack Vaughn is my new favorite professional wrestler. What is that like? How does that make you feel, Jack Vaughn?
That's one of those, is this real life kind of moments.
Yeah.
Because obviously I grew up watching Mick, and I very, you know, we talk about like the King of the Ring match, the Hell in a Cell. Like, yeah. I just have very vivid memories of watching that with my dad and just growing up, you know, loving everything that Mick did as Mankind. And to just, first of all, just meeting him for the first time was awesome.
Sure, yeah.
But then to have him like, because I didn't know what he was saying when I was, because that was during the Rumble match.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm walking back through the curtain, he's like, Jack, come over here. Let me get your autograph. And I'm like, what is happening? And then everyone was just like, yeah, Mick was just raving about you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that is so cool.
if I could ask, what was there anything specific he said about you, or just great job?
Oh, I mean,
have a nice day.
just while I was in the match, he just kept saying like, you know, this guy's my new favorite wrestler. Mm-hmm. And, he loves the look. And I think it's, he likes to put over the mustache.
Yeah,
sure.
So
it's a great mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I've been trying to grow this for like 2 months. This is all I got.
I have mustache envy.
See, yeah. I can't grow it up here anymore, so I got to compensate.
Got to get it right. Yeah. Right. You kind of fashion yourself over very plainly as like an old school wrestler. You're wearing a Terry Funk shirt right now. You're right. What is it about? You mentioned Mick Foley. You're watching during the Attitude Era. Then you start wrestling. What is it about that generation, maybe two, three generations before the Attitude Era, that attracts you so much to that era of wrestling?
I think it's one of those things where it's the wrestling that I watched growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, it's kind of like how the bands that you loved growing up, you love them when you get older.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's similar to that with wrestling. It's like I grew up watching Macho Man and Undertaker and like the early, like the late 80s, early 90s, WWF and WCW. And that's just always the stuff that I gravitated towards. So mm-hmm. when I got into wrestling, that style was still the popular style, you know, very storytelling based, psychology based. It had started to kind of get more towards the indie thing because Ring of Honor had just started.
Mm-hmm.
And Ring of Honor, I loved Ring of Honor
back
when it first started. It was still very, like, you know, heavily story based, but it's just like it's kind of progressed. And I think Ring of Honor was kind of the start of that more athletic, like work rate style. But it's just because I grew up loving those guys, and it's just the wrestling, the style of wrestling that I grew up loving, and it's the kind that I was taught.
Can you put into your own words what the difference is between like what you do and what indie style wrestling is?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. To me, wrestling is more about the story and the characters rather than the moves and the spots.
Mm-hmm.
And the indie style is much more of the, you know, we're in the work rate generation.
Yeah.
And I do love, and I've said this before, like I love the creativity of modern wrestling,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like a lot of times guys sacrifice good storytelling in favor of being creative.
Okay.
And when that happens, that's when it loses me, and that's when I lose interest.
Do you must feel at some point though that what you do is creative.
I do think that what I do is creative. I think what I do is creative because people don't do it anymore.
Right.
And not to say that I can't get creative with certain spots, but I try to get creative with the way that I tell the story rather than the moves that I do.
Well, and I think that there's kind of like an element of you too, where you acknowledge this other thing going on that you don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where the thigh slap came from?
Absolutely.
Can we delve in a little bit more into that?
Sure. So, so it all kind of started with when I started doing the TikTok videos.
Yeah.
And that came about because when I started, for people that don't know, I haven't always been the veteran. I've been wrestling for a really long time. I've came up with the veteran in 2020.
Okay.
And really what it was is that I wanted to just be an old school heel. Like, I didn't want anyone to like me. I wanted everyone to just hate my guts. Kind of like JBL. That's kind of one of the people that I really fashioned myself after.
Okay.
Because even though if like you were smart to the business, you hated JBL because of what he was doing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I wanted to do. And it was like, well, what's one thing that like an old school wrestler wouldn't do? He wouldn't do social media.
Right.
But then it's kind of apparent, like in this day and age, that's very important if you actually want to make your name in wrestling. So what happened was I was at a seminar for a guy by the name of Brutal Bob Evans, who's very well known among wrestlers. Mm-hmm. And he told me, he's like, Jack, I really like the way that you do your social media, but I really think you need to do video content because it's so popular right now. And he was like, specifically, I think you should do TikTok. And I'm like, man, like, I really don't want to do TikTok. I've never even downloaded it. I had no, like, I kind of hated it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, fine. I'll see what I can do. And I filmed a couple videos and they blew up immediately. And in the second video I did, I just did a fake thigh slap because I was just kind of making fun of how guys just slap their thighs every time they do moves. And people just loved it. Yeah. So I just started throwing it in every video. It was like an Easter egg. And then now it's at the point where if I don't put one in, I get tons of comments.
Hear about it,
tons of comments like, where was the thigh slap?
They're there for the thigh slap.
They're specifically looking for it.
Did you think that like there's like honestly kind of something though about the way that TikTok is set up that where it does give you that consistent kind of the good thoughts and feelings that like something that's very set up the way that wrestling fans are set up is like we're used to call and response. We're used to repetition. We're used to, so like whenever you leave the thigh slap out of a TikTok, like, that's the only thing people notice.
Yeah,
I think
for
that, I think that there's a weird thing about TikTok and wrestling fans where it is actually just like set up perfectly for the way that wrestling fans view content.
It would be like if you went to a wrestling show with The Rock and he didn't do the people's elbow.
Right.
You'd be like, well, he didn't do the people's elbow.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Or you go to a concert and you don't get the greatest hit.
Yes, exactly.
Or you go to see Guns N' Roses and they're on time. You know, when you're not getting the thing that you're used to, you know, your automatic response as a fan is to say, wait, no, I want that. I want that.
Yeah.
And then you found this thing kind of landed in your thighs to put it in
literally.
A different way.
Yeah. It's crazy how it happened. Like, because I did it as a joke to make fun of it.
Yeah.
And now it's the thing that everyone wants me to do myself.
Yeah. And you've even on this podcast feed, you can find it in this feed, guys like Will Austin that you're kind of taking a shot at there.
Sure.
Still love it.
Yeah.
and it makes guys like that want to work with you even more because, you know, it's obvious maybe they want to prove something to you or they want to prove something to the fans. Like, right. I can go with this guy.
Yeah. And I've always prided myself on the fact that I believe that I can have a good match with anybody.
Yeah.
So, like, even though I don't do that style, I can work a match like that and still keep it very, like, Jack Vaughn-centric. You know what I mean? Like, I still keep my style. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ace Perry. He's a guy from Indiana. He's very much one of those kind of guys.
Yeah.
And I had a match with him a couple months ago, and it was one of my favorite matches I've had, and it was very much like, it was a Jack Vaughn match, but it still had a lot of elements of like his super indie stuff.
Right.
With like Will and stuff, like he's very good at doing that style, like a lot of guys are. I think the problem with doing the indie style is that everyone does it now, so it's hard to stand out.
Mm.
And I think that's one thing that separates me is that I'm not doing that. I do stuff that you haven't seen in 20 years. So it's like, what's old is new again.
Right.
Yeah, it's cyclical. All come back around full circle. Of all the people in the OVW locker room, I go back with you the longest, being that I've been watching you in Southern Ohio on the Spot Monkey shows. So long that I remember when you had hair. So I guess my question is, how did you get into wrestling, and who were you before you became the veteran?
Good question.
Yeah, so I grew up just being a huge fan, and when I was in high school, like a lot of people my age, we did backyard wrestling with my buddies in high school.
Oh, sure.
And
that makes it a little easier to figure out how old you actually are.
Right. And then when I was just graduating high school, there was an ad in the paper back when newspapers were a thing.
Yeah, I remember for,
now it's real easy to figure out how old you are.
Right. Yeah. But there was an ad in the paper for a wrestling school being run by Shark Boy.
Okay. Oh, Shark Boy. Right. Yeah.
And I pretty much told a couple of my buddies about it, and we all just signed up. I used my student loan money to pay for school.
Right on.
And hell yeah, that's how it started. Plan. And then, you know, with Shark Boy, his was more of a camp. It wasn't a school. Mm-hmm. So it was designed to be a 15-week course that was – the purpose was to kind of, like, give you the basics, and then you move on to another company to continue your training.
Oh, okay.
So I finished with Shark, and then I started working with the Northern Wrestling Federation in Cincinnati under Roger Ruffin.
So are you okay. central to – Cincinnati area. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I grew up more towards Dayton, but in terms of, like, if people say, where do you wrestle out of? I just say Cincinnati. That's primarily where I was wrestling from.
Cincinnati is not a bad place to come from if you're trying to get into the professional wrestling business.
Not at all. Especially back then, because that was shortly after HWA. Mm-hmm. They were still around, but they used to be the developmental.
Right.
And I mean, I look back and, like, when I started, HWA had, I mean, it was being run by Cody Hawk, and then they had BJ Whitmer, Nigel McGuinness, Chad Collier, Matt Stryker, and just all these guys that went on to be like Ring of Honor and do this all this other stuff. And then at NWF, you had Carl Anderson and Abyss had come out of there. Wow. Chris Harris had come out of there.
Oh, wow.
So there was, like, Cincinnati was a real hotbed for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask if you had any experience with HWA.
No. So it's funny because, It's one of the things I joke about with Cody now, but Cody Hawk did not like me when I first started.
Okay.
Because I originally finished with Shark Boy. I went to HWA, and I couldn't really afford to pay for the school. Mm-hmm. So I basically, like, signed the contract to come train with them and then quit, which, understandably, I understand why Cody didn't like me for a long time.
Not a veteran move.
Yeah, not a veteran move. That was pre-veteran. but no, we're cool now, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how that started. So I never wrestled on an HWA show. Mm-hmm. My experience was just kind of knowing the guys there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just to answer the previous question, I was known as Muldoon when I was with NWF.
Oh, really?
And then when I stopped working with NWF, I retired in 2013. And the last year or so before I retired, I was Dustin Thomas. So I just took my real name and I just ripped off a joke from Boy Meets World. And
you got some weird influences on your wrestling life.
Yeah.
Boy Meets World, Godzilla movies.
I don't hate it, man. It's awesome.
And then, I kind of just got to the point, it was 2013, I got to the point where I was just kind of really bitter mm-hmm. about wrestling and just kind of sick of it. And I quit and I came back and I would do, like, shows here and there. And then it wasn't until 2019 that I decided, you know, I kind of just miss being in wrestling.
Yeah.
I wasn't wanting to necessarily take it seriously. I just wanted to go back and see my friends and have fun.
Sure.
And then I came up with the veteran, and then things just started kind of blowing up for me. So
what's it like to come to a place like OVW where you said, hey, I can't afford wrestling school. Mm-hmm. I use my student loan checks to pay for wrestling school or wrestling camp. Now you're at a place like OVW where there's this whole generation of guys that are breaking in and they're getting student loan money for the specific purpose of coming to OVW. Yeah. And OVW is, like, contracted, or not contracted, but it's a registered school in the state of mm-hmm. Kentucky, a trade school. Like, did you ever think whenever you start in wrestling, you're spending your student loan money that, like, a system like that would ever exist for professional wrestling?
Not at all. That's such a cool thing too. Mm-hmm. I guess the only downside is that even with that is, you know, let's say I use my student loan to pay for wrestling school.
Yeah.
I still have to be able to do the thing. Like, I can't just get a good job. Like, I can't just go to the WWE right after that. I have to be good, and I have to really, like, hone my skills. And whereas, like, if I were to go to, like, a trade school and become a welder, like, they need welders out there. So you're going to, you know, go get a job pretty much immediately.
You know, that's actually an incredible point while we're discussing, like, the OVW trade school that I had never really thought of is, like, OVW is going to set you up the best way that they possibly can. And a lot of that's going to come down to you. Mm-hmm. But unlike welding or electrician work or anything like that, like a normal trade school and a traditional trade school,
yeah,
there's no guarantee.
Right.
Like, they don't use wrestlers to put blacktop down.
Right.
Exactly. Like, yeah, they're not out there, like, building bridges.
And I'm sure there's a lot of wrestlers who have played placed blacktop.
But, well, sure, yeah.
Like, but it's just, like, there really is. I never really thought of it in terms of that there still is still a long way to fall, even if you are the best person at OVW, best student.
And I mean, obviously, you have the best teachers. I mean,
right.
If you're gonna if you're gonna pay to go to a wrestling trade school, I mean, who better than Al and Doug Basham and those kind of guys training you, guys that have actually been to the top of the business. But that's the one downfall is that, like, there's no guarantee, no matter what level you're on, like, there's no guarantee you're gonna be able to support yourself with wrestling.
And then you mentioned you retired. You saw very very real, very clearly how hard it is to support yourself with wrestling. Yeah. Here we are 10 years later, a little over 10 years later. What's one thing you would go back and say to the 2013 Jack Vaughn Muldoon about staying in professional wrestling? Or were you at a point with it where you needed to walk away to realize how much you needed it or wanted it?
I think I needed to take that time off because I had just gotten married like a year prior and just other things had become more important to me.
Sure.
But I think what I would actually go back to, like, when I first started wrestling and say, like, because I really felt like I didn't do the things that I needed to do to succeed because I didn't really have a mentor. I didn't have someone tell me, hey, you need to get in cars and go ride with guys to shows. You need to, you know, make yourself available. You need the network. I was content wrestling for the same company every Saturday because it was like, I didn't have to look for bookings. It's always there.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anyone saying, hey, hop in the car with me, because all the guys that I knew were on the shows I was on.
Yeah, right,
So I would go back and be like, hey, don't get tied down working for one company. You know, get out there, travel. And even though, like, I love NWF, you know, I love Roger and I loved working there, but I feel like I missed out on a lot of the wrestling experience by not getting on the road and sort of having that, like, struggling sort of lifestyle, you know, like a struggling artist.
Right.
Right.
Like a musician or something like that.
Do you think that when you came back to wrestling that, like, all of those ideas that you had learned or things that you had thought about concentrated on your time away from wrestling, do you think that that's, like, where the veteran, like, comes from? Is it's just like, if I'm going to come back and redo this the way I want to do it, this is how I want to do it. I want to be this idea of what a professional wrestler is.
So when I first came back, I was still not the veteran.
Okay.
I was Wild Thing Jack Vaughn.
Oh, like from Major League.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when people were like, oh, are those glasses from, is that, like, from the movie? And
that makes sense. Well,
yeah, my name's Vaughn. And then they kind of clicks. I'm like, oh, okay, makes sense. But when I first came back, I still didn't really have, like, that old school mentality. I still wrestled like an old school wrestler, but it was still like I was trying to incorporate spots and stuff to kind of appeal to the modern audience. But what happened was I was at a show that a bunch of my friends were on. I wasn't even booked. I was just there to hang out. And I was talking to Jake Oman, and it was like after the show, and I was just like, man, like, there needs to be just that one guy who's just like an old, bitter, grizzled wrestler who just hates everything these young guys are doing. And as I was driving home, I had all these ideas for this character. And I was like, yeah, man, someone should do that. And then I was like, wait a minute, I should do that. And then I said out loud, I was like, the veteran Jack Vaughn. And then it just kind of clicked.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, that's what I'm doing now. That's the new thing.
That's it.
So we become the veteran.
Mm-hmm.
We've retired. We've come back. We become the veteran. We end up at OVW very quickly into coming into OVW. You're up there. You're rubbing shoulders with the biggest and best guys that they have. Was there ever a moment where you looked at that and said, wow, I'm so glad I didn't stay retired? Wow,
I mean, for sure. I didn't expect to get that push when I first came in, but I think it's obviously it's a huge honor to have Al believe in you to that point.
Yeah,
certainly.
To be like, oh, well, you know, we're going to put you in there with our top guys.
Yeah.
Because I look back at when I first came to OVW, and I feel like I feel like I've improved so much just because working television is so much different than working on, like, an independent stage.
Yeah.
You know, just having, like, know where the cameras are at all times and facial expressions and stuff like that. And then, you know, as someone who comes to, like, the Spot Monkey shows, then you are more familiar with, like, the independent stuff. You can't miss your times.
No.
You got to make sure that you're on time.
Yeah.
Cause I don't want to be there for 4.5 hours.
Yeah. It's a tight schedule.
Right.
But no, but yeah, just it was a huge like confidence boost for me because I was kind of I had been doing well on the independents, but OVW is a whole different beast than what I was used to. So just to have that you know, to get that stamp of approval from guys like Al and everybody else was huge for me.
So you come back, you get this huge stamp of approval, and then the whole thing catches fire, right? And you are still so integral into the stories that are being told to a whole brand new audience. Is that a lot of weight on your shoulders?
I think for some people it would be, but I'm confident enough in my ability to where it doesn't really bother me.
And it seems like
I actually kind of welcome it.
Sure, sure. And I mean, you've plugged away a lot in the past, and it does seem like you're a very thoughtful, smart guy. It does seem like you appreciate a new challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And OVW is in a place right now where there's a lot of new challenges, I feel like. And that's a good thing to have. That's a really good thing to have. Can you just name me some of your accomplishments at OVW, please?
2-time Kentucky heavyweight champion.
Okay.
And 3-time OVW heavyweight champion.
And how long were you in the company before you got championship gold?
2 weeks.
That's a huge, huge vote of confidence.
that's all you need.
These are guys that you grew up watching on television. You retired, you came back.
Mm.
Championship gold 2 weeks in. Man, what? As a fan, that's almost like something if I saw in a book or a movie, I wouldn't believe it.
Right.
And you're living it.
Mm.
Are you glad? You glad you came back?
I think it was a good move. I think it's worked out well for me. And you know, I when I first came back, I wasn't expecting stuff like this. I kind of just wanted to be back in the business and see my friends. But you know, when that happened, I started to realize, you know, maybe I do have something here. Like maybe I do have a chance. Granted, I'm a little older, so maybe like the big companies like WWE maybe aren't interested in someone my age, but like I still feel like I have a lot of good years left because I don't work that high impact style. Like my body still feels good. I still feel like I can contribute. So but yeah, I think coming to wrestling and just for like for this, it's the sport that I love and something that I've loved my entire life. So like the years that I spent away from it, it was like something was missing.
Yeah.
Like even though I kind of kept track of it and lived vicariously through some of my friends, it's not the same as being able to get into the locker room and feeling that rush when you come through the curtain.
Absolutely. On the way out here, can you plug your social medias, including that very famous TikTok?
Of course. So pretty much all social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok is VetJackVaughn.
Okay.
And then Facebook is Veteran Jack Vaughn. I also have a YouTube channel. I don't post on it as much. Those are mostly for matches.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, but that's just Veteran Jack Vaughn on YouTube.
And so I'll say this. If you've never watched a Jack Vaughn match, there's a reason why he's Mick Foley's new favorite wrestler. So go find it. Go watch him live. Go watch him on YouTube. Go find him. You're going to love him too. Thank you guys so much for listening. Jack, thank you for coming by.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Love you guys. Thanks.